is Jonathan Fogel, and you are listening to Mac Edition Radio.
This is Harris Fogel at PhotoPlus Expo in New York. I'm with Toshiyuki Terada and Sally Smith-Clemens of Olympus. Toshi, you are the product manager for a brand new camera that's been in the works for many years, the E3 from Olympus. And Sally Smith, you can talk about the marketing and who this camera is aimed at and what you think the impact will be on the audience. In 2003, Olympus introduced the E1, which was your flagship digital SLR, built from the ground up with a new chassis and a whole new body of lenses and approach to digital photography. And since then, the industry has had a lot of new technologies. You've introduced a slew of new technology, a whole bunch of new cameras, and it's taken a little bit of while for the E3 to come out. So let's talk about where and what were the priorities that led to the development and final release of the E3.
Yes, the most important thing we think is the basic, or let's say the fundamental performance of the SLR means, especially we this time try to improve the autofocus, speed and preciseness.
And have you felt that you've made some big improvements there?
Yes, sure. Now we achieved the world fastest autofocus speed with a lens.
Let's compare that to a camera of the E1 genera. So let's go back to 2003. How fast would an E1 focus on a subject compared to the new E3?
It's really too hard, but market said not so quite focused, fast focused. And also the preciseness, we think the market is acceptable level. They say acceptable level, but speed, they still struggle the speed with E1, sometimes works, especially the sports, shooting, so on.
So the precision was pretty good with the E1, but the speed wasn't where you wanted.
I think so.
And on the E3, you've increased both the precision and the speed of autofocus?
Yes, that's right.
Let's talk a little bit about the sensors. A lot of times, camera manufacturers will talk about the different autofocus sensors and the patterns that they employ. So let's talk about, in a little bit more detail, about what sensors that you're employing in the new product.
Now, E3 has 11-point all-cross-twin sensors. Means all sensor has, all each point has a cross type of sensor, and we say the double-cross sensor. Means you can get quite same preciseness of autofocus entire the focal range.
Sally?
Yeah, the new AF system in the E3 is unique in that there are 11 AF target points, Harris, and each one of them is fully crossed, meaning it can detect autofocus information on both the vertical and the horizontal axis. And in addition to that, so you've got, you know, if you think about that, you've got 11 points that can read information on two individual planes. So 2 times 11 is 22, right? 22 data points that we can be reading information from. In addition, there is a second row, if you will, of the 11 AF target points that are sitting next to but slightly offset from their counterparts, almost like a redundant system in a way, to assist in the autofocus precision. You've actually got this double layer, if you will, and that affords a total of 44 planes or points of data that we can actually detect autofocus information from. And the other thing I think that a lot of people don't think about or take for granted is the placement of those individual AF target points within the frame has been carefully thought through. Olympus actually looked over about 1,000 images that were supplied by professional photographers and evaluated based on those images where typically the point of focus occurred in the frame. And based on that, they laid out this array of 11 AF target points in a specific pattern within the frame to accommodate that most frequency of subject focus within the frame after all the surveys. And I think when you start comparing AF systems across the board, that's going to be one of the key differences you'll see.
I should note for our listeners that the way that autofocus works is by detecting contrast changes, right?
Correct.
So the more points of contact, the more chance for accuracy, especially in a situation where you don't have sharply defined targets.
Absolutely. Not only is it offer and afford more precision, but we're using a new type of motor in our lenses. We call it an SWD, supersonic wave drive motor, in our new lenses. The lens that we introduced with the product happens to be a 12 to 60 millimeter SWD. That would be the equivalent of a 24 to 120 millimeter. So it's a nice portrait type range, wide angle to portrait. This motor mechanism, this new ultrasonic type motor in the lens, can communicate with the AF sensor in the body, and it has the ability, that combination, the E3 body with this specific lens, has the ability to move the lens to the precision of about 5 microns, which is about the thickness of one blade of human hair. So when you think about moving the elements within the lens, the ability to be able to move them to that finite of a degree in preciseness, also very quickly because it can move in short increments, is one of the ways that we're also able to achieve this world's fastest AF.
Now, Olympus pioneered the use of Live View, and Live View allows you to see what you're photographing on the back screen. Of course, that's common to every point-and-shoot out there, but you were the first to actually have the ability to do that on a digital SLR. But you've taken this a few steps farther than the E510, your current model with Live View, and you've added this to an articulated arm.
You're right. You know, it's interesting. We introduced the world's first full Live View digital SLR. It's been about 2 years ago now, January. That was the E330. And that LCD was articulated, but it would move up to 90 degrees off the body or tilt down 20 degrees off the body. It couldn't swivel out from the body. What we now see with the E3 is not only articulation, but the ability to fully swivel the LCD out away from the body. As a matter of fact, you could be facing the front of the camera and have the LCD pointing back at you. So we feel that articulation and the ability to swivel the LCD on a product at this level for a commercial shooter is very key into the application of using Live View.
The E3 is not a consumer camera. It's really a professional-level camera. It has a lot of waterproofness. It also has a solid die-cast magnesium body, right?
Yes, it is. It was made by magnesium alloy.
And is it pretty tough?
Yes, it is.
You know, I can add to that a little bit, Harris. The process that we used to create this magnesium alloy mold, if you will, that's underneath the skin, when you look at this particular frame, if you will, it looks like it'd be heavy, massive, very weighty material. But when you pick it up, it's light, like a paper cup or aluminum. The amazing thing about it is the strength of it is such that I could set this frame on the ground and stand on it, and it would withstand my weight without crushing at all. This new process that we've used, it's called a thix-a-mold process for the magnesium alloy, which is a type of metal. Normally, when you think of casting metal, you heat the metal so that it's a molten, you know, liquid, and you pour it into a mold and you let it cool and you break the mold apart and then sand it down and clean it up. This thix-a-mold process now for the magnesium alloy material has the ability to function similar to an injection mold process that we typically think about with plastics, where the metal is actually forced into the mold and suction pulls it through the mold. So not only can it fill the cavity more precisely for all the intricate little layers and details that you'd have on the frame, but it also is cavity-free, meaning there's no bubbles in the mold, so it's a very strong material.
Let's talk a little bit about the sensor. This new camera has a 10-megapixel sensor, and of course some of your competitors have higher megapixel count sensors and some have lower. What made you choose this particular sensor and to stick with a 10-megapixel rating?
As you know, our FOSA system, the sensor area is smaller than others. Then we are always facing somehow the problem about the noise or something. Then we are always considering the balance of the image quality, means not only the pixel count, but also the latitude, I mean the dynamic range, and also the noise quality level. So then we decided at this moment we should stay 10 megapixel with higher dynamic range and also the nice noise performance.
And does this have pretty good noise performance in low-light situations, Sally?
It should perform very well, Harris. It's also interesting when you think of a 4/3 standard type of system, which is what our E-series cameras are based upon. The aspect ratio of this sensor is 4:3, which translates perfectly into standard paper sizes. As a matter of fact, it would translate exactly into a 7.5 by 10 without cropping anything off the image. A lot of the other manufacturers that are using a higher pixel count are also using sensors that have different aspect ratios, perhaps 3:2, something of that nature. And those translate more towards an 8x12 format if you're actually going to print the entire area, if you're the type of photographer that composes through the frame, so to speak. Once those photographers crop the image down to fit a standard sheet of paper, you're back to a 10 or possibly even an 8-megapixel image in the end.
Is this the same sensor that's found in the E510 and the E410?
No, actually no, because we need a high burst rate. Readout speed means this image sensor can work with higher clock speed. We modified something the inside of the circuit on chip, and actually modification of the amplifier, and as a result, we can get a higher speed burst rate and also improve the wide dynamic range.
Sally, what is the burst rate for this camera?
This camera will offer 5 frames per second, and it will also capture raw images at 5 frames per second. And the top-end shutter speed on the camera is 1/8,000 of a second, with focal plane flash sync at 1/8,000 of a second if you choose as well. So standard flash sync is a 250th, which is pretty much a standard industry-wide. But you can absolutely, with our new remote control flashes, which we also are introducing and have announced here recently, you can sync those flashes up to 1/8,000 of a second, which is really good news for photographers that like to do work in bright daylight and still want to use a small aperture for maximum depth of field and need to kick up their shutter speed in order to accommodate certain subjects.
So all those fill light fanatics are going to be happy?
They're going to be very happy, Harris.
So how does a remote flash work?
The remote flash is actually pretty cool. It's an optical system, meaning you're using the on-board or on-camera built-in pop-up flash to communicate with the remote strobes. You can have 3 different groupings, 4 channels per grouping. So you could have an array of different flashes out there, so to speak, and the flash on top of the camera communicates with them through small bursts that really aren't that visible to the eye, and that's what triggers them. Because the live view is articulated and you can swivel the LCD, you've got a nice control display that is always on the paneled LCD that you can go into each individual flash channel and control things like power ratio control down to, say, 1/64th power or whatever you want to choose. You can set it on TTL or FP flash or full manual. You can even do exposure compensation, see what shutter speed. A lot of control right there at the camera without having to dig for it in layers of menus.
So you can have 3 or 4 Olympus remote control flashes set up, let's say, in a studio setting, and you can control each of those flashes with a different ratio. So one flash is a key light and one flash is a fill, and you've got a primary light source and all different ratios and different power settings, all from the camera.
You can, and I know you typically tend to think of this as a studio setup, but I'm starting to think of it more as the portable studio setup, because the flashes aren't that large. They look like a shoe mount strobe. We have 2 different models, and they're bounce and swivel as you would expect. They come with little stands, as a matter of fact. You could certainly travel easily with this out in the field, so you have quite a versatile system now.
Are you introducing more than one of these new high-speed focusing lenses?
We actually announced 3 lenses here a couple of days ago, the new SWD lenses. The one that we'll be shipping right away, the camera body, is the 12 to 60 millimeter SWD, and that lens right now is the one that we've been able to test in order to stake our claim that Olympus is indeed introducing the world's fastest AF technology. It's based upon the E3 body combined with that 12 to 60 millimeter. The other 2 lenses that will come out a little bit later will be the 50 to 200 SWD and also early next year a 14 to 35 SWD that's a straight F2. And for your listeners to understand the equivalent angle of view on these lenses, based on the 4/3 standard sensor size that we're using in our products. For me, as a mathematically challenged person, it's very easy. You just do the math times 2. So a 14 to 35 millimeter is a 28 to 70 millimeter, et cetera. The 50 to 200 is a 100 to 400. And then the 12 to 60 is a 24 to 120.
I've had the luxury of playing with this camera over the last couple of days, and I can tell our listeners it has a really lovely and well-honed feel and fit and finish.
You know, it does. It's surprising. It's a substantial feel in your hand. I think you'll agree with me. It feels like you definitely have something that you're holding on to. There will be a grip for it as well, an accessory grip that you will have the vertical releases and control buttons so that you can shoot vertically and still easily control the camera. It's got a nice feel to the body. It's not so large that you can't easily carry it. Even for someone my size, I'm not very large. I can easily navigate and manage the product myself, even if I had to carry a couple of bodies in a bag.
And these new very fast focusing SWD lenses, will they offer those benefits of speed to somebody with an older camera, a previous body?
Absolutely. The lenses can be, of course, in the 4/3 system, you can use either the SWD brand new lenses or existing lenses within the line that we've had since 2003 and beyond. On the new E3 or perhaps E510 or another camera body that you may have within that 4/3 standard, and they will indeed allow that camera body combination to perform more quickly.
And when I last interviewed John Naur, he talked about the fact that now you've got third-party companies making some wonderful lenses for the 4/3 system as well. So there's even more range out there, right?
There is. It's actually the largest consortium, if you will, of manufacturers that have come together and joined what's called the 4/3 standard. And this happened in, I want to say, year 2000. It's been some time ago, or 2001, that the consortium was established. It's 4/3-org, I believe, is the website. You can check it out or Google it, but there's a lot of information. And beyond Olympus, and beyond Olympus Zuiko brand digital specific lenses, there are other branded lenses that will work on our body or vice versa, as long as it's based on the 4/3 standard.
Now, image stabilization is being seen as a must-have technology for cameras. And, of course, Canon and Nikon, they put it in the lenses, but you've put it in the body, which allows that to work with all your lenses, right?
Yes, we feel the advantage of body-based image stabilization is that every lens that you attach to the camera body becomes stabilized. As opposed to having to purchase that technology every time in a lens, you now have the ability to take advantage of image stabilization with any lens that you haven't attached to the body. And this new system that we have in the E3 is so sensitive, it's able to correct up to 5 steps or 5 EV values. So that makes possible shooting in extremely low light situations, handheld at, say, 1/6 of a second, a possibility.
Is that an increase over the E510?
It is, actually. The IS system that's in the E3 body is enhanced so that the electronic gyro sensor in the body is more sensitive and able to recognize movement and detect movement more precisely. So we've increased 1 step or 1 EV value. The E510 offered a 4-step correction, if you will, and the E3 will offer a 5 EV step correction.
Sally, where can our listeners find out more information about the E3?
The website's always a great place, olympus.com, olympus.com.
I want to thank Toshiyuki Terada and Sally Smith-Clemens for spending time with us. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Harris.
For Mac Edition Radio, this is Harris. You've been listening to Mac Edition Radio, available on the web at www.macedition.com. The contents are copyright 2008 and may not be used without written permission.